Randall. Oh. Thank you, men, for being here. And that song is a powerful message. We need faithful men. Yes. Well, you know, I was thinking about how do I introduce Randall? And I said, well, it's my big brother. Okay. I am, what's that? A farmer story. I am so grateful for Randall and Curtis. They have really been a tremendous blessing to encourage men. It's neat to see the younger men coming on board, and so what a blessing that is. Well, yeah, we're there. Probably not in the story mode this morning. Okay. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for time together as men this morning. Would you help us to be the faithful men whose our feet are standing on the rock that's sure, and that is you, Father. And we just ask you to make Randall's mind alert to his notes and to the teaching, and that you would bless us as we are encouraged to be the men that you've called us to be. Thank you, Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jason. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another morning of Encouraged Men. So, session 10, three cheers for mentors. When I saw the title, I thought it'd be a lot of fun to see what words go through your mind. Maybe before we get started a little bit here, just kind of poll the room. When you think of the word mentor, what are some of the words that come to your mind? If you just want to speak up, share them. What comes to your mind when you think of mentor? Advice? Wisdom? Listening? Yep. Walking alongside, experience? Someone I can talk to. Someone that can keep things confidential? Very good point. I'm sure there's more. Okay, very good. Well, I think we're kind of all on the same page. Three cheers for mentors. I wasn't quite sure. There's a lot of places we can go with this. A couple weeks ago, I had that one, the all alone wound, and I was kind of leading into this whole thing of mentors. So that's kind of where we're going, right? We talked about men being lonely, men being all alone, and Jason talked about the difference between seeing intimacy as something that we kind of expect in marriage only, and really God creating friendship between people as kind of one of the ultimate things in life, and actually marriage intimacy is kind of an optional thing. And I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Thank you, Lord. At least, yeah, I can relax now. I'm all good. Just a good old bachelor. It'll be all right. So, yeah. So anyways, every once in a while I get some aha moments. But as I was thinking about, you know, what's a good starting, maybe a break in here for three cheers for mentors, thought about, you know, here, I think maybe a place we can all relate, somebody we probably wouldn't trust without a mentor. So let's say you were, and I like to fly airplanes, by the way. Yesterday I got my private pilot's license, so it was a big day for me. Thank you. Yeah, that was, thank you. That was a lot of work and a lot of fun, so I tried not to cut this short, but I will say it was a lot of energy put into that, too, in the last week. So that's been on my mind. But anyway, imagine this. Let's say you're at Lancaster Airport at some fly-in thing. People are going, giving rides, and this guy says, hey, I'll take you for a ride in my airplane. Like, oh, that'd be fun. How'd you get your license? Well, me and my friend, we actually bought this old plane, and my buddy had a farm, and so we were just flying out of the backfield, you know, and yeah. We just had a lot of fun. We learned to fly there. And, oh, okay, nobody ever taught. No, we just learned on our own. Oh, interesting. Yeah, we crashed a time or two and, you know, had to weld the landing gear back on a time or two. But he's good with a welder. And it actually worked pretty good, you know. You see where I'm going with this, right? Would you fly with a guy who tried to learn things on his own, crashes his airplane when he doesn't figure them out, and then kind of walks away from the wreckage and figures it out? Nobody would probably fly with a guy like that, right? But you know, how many of us live life that way? instead of saying, you know, I wish I could find someone who could give me, we talked about wisdom, we talked about experience, different words that you guys had shared here. You know, sometimes we just try it, right? And we hope we have a good enough welder so we can fix up that landing gear when we crash so we can just keep on going, right? Instead of having somebody come alongside of us and say, you know, I'd love to show you the way. I'd love to help you on. All right, there's going to be a lot of blanks to fill. I'm going to try not to get ahead of you folks today, but there is a lot of stuff. So why the mentor thing is so big? Well, dad can only take you so far. And I think this is something that we probably, I don't know if we do well with this or not. I don't know where, we're probably in different places. But I think it's something we need to recognize as sons and as fathers. There's kind of two different sides of this coin. I've only ever been a son, so I don't know what it's like to be a father. And to have to release your son. But I think it's something for us to realize our fathers are great. I'd say for a lot of us, some of us maybe had not great experiences, but dad has a desire to see you succeed, to see you go somewhere, to see you become, reach your dreams, become who you want to be. But dad also has limited experiences in life, right? And if you want to go, and let's just say your father maybe was a mechanic, and was a mechanic his whole life, and you have interest in becoming an accountant someday. Well, your dad might be good with books and things like that, but the really accounting skills is probably something he doesn't have experience in, right? And so you have to learn that for somebody else. That's kind of a practical example. I know I've been blessed by men in my life. My father was a great guy, great fellow. I really appreciate my dad. We were just chatting last night on the way home from the airport. Dad called me up, and we were rejoicing together. And I look forward to taking dad for an airplane ride here before long. But anyway, I was blessed by my dad allowing me to go out and make friends with other men. There's a lot of them here. Jason Reed, Bernard Martin, I don't know who all to mention. I feel like I leave people out when I start mentioning people, so I probably should just stop. But dad can only take me so far. And I was so blessed by a father who was able to just release me and not feel threatened by the other men. And so I would say to you as a father, if you're a father here this morning, I would encourage you to find that courage at some point when your son's getting older. And I would say by the time he's in his upper teens, 17, 18, 19, have the courage to start turning him over to other men. And not, don't see this as a threat to yourself, but rather this is an opportunity for other men to speak into your son in ways that you might have flat sides. Does that make sense? Is that fair? I've never been a father, like I said, but I think it's something we need to realize. As our sons are getting older, can we allow other men to speak into their lives in ways that we might not be able to? And some of it is, it might be a way you could, but he might not be open to it. It is amazing what it is amazing what I can tell sons. I don't think their dads could. And I find that interesting sometimes. So there can be that side as well. Male mentors are specialists. Jason was talking about friends. So we're looking at specifically this idea of a mentor this morning. A male mentor is a specialist. So we're thinking about somebody who's got experience in a certain area of life that maybe your father doesn't. So if your father was a carpenter and you decided that, you know, I really enjoy like mechanics, or I really enjoy working as a salesperson, you might need to get a mentor to help you learn that role beyond your father. So male mentors are often going to be a specialist, experience in a certain area of life that can really help you go somewhere a lot further. So let's just discuss what a mentor might look like a little bit. If you are thinking about somebody as a mentor, he should be someone who supports you rather than competes with you. So this is not somebody who's at the same level as you, in a sense, in business. It should be somebody who's a lot older than you, somebody who's down the road further, somebody who can say, you know what, you can make that choice, you can choose to buy that second location right now, but where your company's at, you're probably going to just kind of really bring everybody down under a load that'll be hard to pull out of, and you're probably going to kill the energy you have in your company right now. Does that make sense? Somebody who's further down the road who can see and speak into you. He's not competing with you. He's not a person who's a buddy He's helping you get better at basketball, and Austin realizes, now I'm going to help you win against me. No, he's somebody who's further down the road. He's fine if you get ahead of him. You know, there's an interesting story. You know, when Apostle Paul gets converted from Saul to Paul, he gets converted. He goes to Jerusalem. What happens? They're scared of him, aren't they? They're not sure who this fellow is. They heard about his preaching back there. And he comes to Jerusalem. He's scared. And Barnabas comes alongside of Paul and says, hey, this fellow is fine. I've heard him preaching. He's a good preacher. He's a solid Christian person. Sure, we know who Paul used to be, but that's not who he is today. And Barnabas is this amazing person who helps bring Paul into the fellowship, if you want to say it, with the other people there in Jerusalem. What is interesting is later in Paul's life, it seems like Paul becomes more the significant leader in the church. Is that right? Does Barnabas seem to mind that? It doesn't seem so, right? Barnabas actually takes John Mark under his arm and shepherds him when Paul says, I don't got time for John Mark. And then Barnabas takes him under his wing, shepherds him, and later on when Paul's in prison, he says, you know, John Mark is valuable to me. There's some interesting things that happen there. So a mentor should be someone who supports you rather than competes with you. Barnabas didn't care if Paul became a more popular preacher, a better preacher than him. He was just trying to help him become everything God created him to be. Number two, he is one who is primarily a cheerleader, not a critic. He's cheering you on. He wants to see you succeed, not a critic. There's some things to think about if you're thinking about being a mentor, by the way, too. I think as fathers, it's easy for us, for fathers to see the soft spots in their children. Son, you know, you should you should do this, or son, over here, you know. That happened again, you know, right? You're working on it, aren't you? As a mentor, we get to be in that role where we're not really looking for them soft spots. We're getting to cheer on them those areas in life where we see they have a talent, they got a strength. I was blessed. Jason Reed is probably one of the main reasons why I'm actually part of encouragement and part of the teaching ministry here, is he's seen something in me and encouraged me to go for it. And I remember feeling very, very insecure about that. And thinking, like, Jason, you're really a nice man, but you shouldn't encourage people to do things that they're going to fail at. And I guess he had wisdom that I didn't have. He's back there cheering. And that was what Jason was in my life. He was not that critic. He was that cheerleader. He came on my side. He helped me to get through some of my areas where I wasn't so good. And, yeah, I would say Jason was a huge blessing, big cheerleader in my life. Number three, he is one who seeks to encourage the development of your gifts while seeking to protect you from costly mistakes. So as a mentor, we're not so much a counselor, all right? So if you're thinking about being a mentor yourself, you might say, oh, but I don't have the experience. I don't have all these years of practice, you know? I would say as a mentor, you're not a counselor. If you run into something that's really hard, a really big problem, so to speak, you may have to recommend that person, hey, why don't you go to someone who is an experienced counselor and talk through this with them? You're a cheerleader. You're just a mentor. And you know what I would like to say this morning is I think every one of us has something that we can share with somebody else. You do not have to be Mr. Perfect. I would not be here talking if I was Mr. Perfect. I'm not there. You do not have to reach some level of perfection before God can use you to share what the blessings he's given you with others. This isn't about some level of perfection that you have to share with others, but it's blessings and experiences God has given you that you can share with others and bless them. Does that make sense? So I think Satan sometimes likes to try to crash this thing by creating a bar in our mind that we was like, you know, when I reach this level, then I can be a mentor. And I think there is something about being healthy and about being at a level of living life in victory that is healthy. Because if you try to take on mentoring people when your life is almost overloaded, you might burn out. So there is something about being wise, about being but being willing to be a mentor. But I think a lot of us have more to share than we realize. Number four, he is one who admires and delights in you because he instinctively recognizes your value and untapped potential. A mentor is somebody who should see value in you. He should come alongside. And so this happened with me. I'll just go back to my own life. Jason coming alongside of me and realizing that, you know what? There was something inside of me that if he would encourage it and grow it, he thought he could probably see me be a teacher someday. And I'm ever blessed and encouraged that he took that energy and helped me to realize that potential. So what could you do? I think a lot of us probably all have coworkers, right? We rub shoulders with every day. And I think this is the place, fellas. I think our Anabaptist businesses are untapped resource. Absolutely an untapped resource. We rub shoulders every single day with our coworkers. We probably know them better than their own families do a lot of times. Maybe that's a strong statement, but I think so. Unless they have really close relationships with their family. We get to know them at their worst and at their best. And how much of an opportunity do we have every day to speak life, speak encouragement, to speak into the potential of our coworkers? I think this is a tremendous opportunity that we have. Tremendous opportunity. He is not necessarily a close friend, but a close confidant. If you're a mentor, you might think this seems a little bit scary. Oh, well, I thought we were going to be friends. It's not about you. It's about you being a confidant for that person. And what we mean by that is he might have a lot of great close friends. And his life might move on. And you might only be in his life for a season. That's actually fairly common as a mentor. I remember getting to know a young fellow at about 17 here at Encourage Men and connected with him for several years, going through different things. Relationship with his father was kind of the first thing. Working through some things with his own sexuality. He went on, got married, this whole dating thing. There was some drama going on there. And I remember one particular meeting where he was really wrestling with just some real insecurities in his life. And I don't think it's fair to my girlfriend to keep on dating. And we sat down and talked through that. I just remember that being an amazing moment where I was like, do you really feel God is telling you that this is the place to go? I said, if God's telling you that, I want to bless you to make the right decision. But he said, why? What's driving you? And as we were able to talk through that, uncover that, he was able to see it was a tremendous amount of insecurity. And she was a lovely girl, a wonderful young lady he was dating. And they're happily married today. Anyway, probably no credit to me. But but just able to help him process that was just an incredible moment. I'm not really involved in his life much anymore. What does a bachelor have to do for a married guy? Not a whole lot. So he moved on to other people, right? I was only in his life for a season. I was only there for a season. And I wasn't his closest friend, I don't think. But I was somebody he could come to in those difficult moments. And it was, yeah, that was interesting. What a mentor brings. We talked about these earlier. Somebody mentioned wisdom. Number one, wisdom through experience. So we talked about, I used that example of a business buying a second location. Somebody's been down the road ahead of you, have seen that, they can bring that experience to the table and say, you know what, here's some things that we wrestled with when we tried that. Warnings. What are some warnings? Well, maybe financially it could put you in a tough spot if you tried to buy that second location. What are some other warnings? Satan may be trying to distract you, like my friend who Satan was trying to say, you're just not enough of a man to get married. You can't do this. It wasn't true. He has a belief in you. So often we, as men, fight insecurity, don't we? And there is nothing more refreshing than somebody who just believes in us. Somebody who just who's just willing to say, you know what? You can do this. I know you can. Whether or not you're going to go through is your own choice, but I know you can do this. Cheers for your achievement. Doesn't that mean a lot? When a whole group of men clap for you after you get your license, private pilot's license, that's awesome. But it's just those moments. Sometimes people just need us to cheer them on. Hey, I was out of town. I always used to get into pornography when I was out of town. But this weekend, I called my accountability guys, and I told them, I'm going out of town. I'm just using this as an example. Actually, this did happen for me. Called my accountability guys. I'm like, hey, going out of town this weekend, and yeah, this is a new, I'm putting boundaries in my life. I'm not going to those places. And they're coming back and having those men cheer you on for success. That's a big one. I think as men, we're lonely. We are naturally lonely. And it takes a choice to move into relationship. It takes a choice to move into friendship. And when we can cheer each other on, that's just a huge encouragement to help us as men to keep moving toward that relationship that we so badly need. Your mentor should be a hero. In some instances, a proven hero. I think the next one, I don't know. There might be another one later on that kind of goes on with this idea. If you're bringing a mentor into your life, he should be well-respected in the community. He should be a hero to a degree. I just got done saying we don't need to be perfect, right? He should be somebody that others have a respect for and that he should be respected in community and have community cred, if you want to say it that way. The people around him that know him, trust him and recommend him. Does that make sense? The people around him that know him would trust and recommend him. He should have that community credibility. In business sometimes, we seek advice from all different people, right? So let's say the man that you're seeking business from, that the most sales in the company, is struggling and working, his wife's filing a divorce for him. Would you be a little concerned? Would you be a little concerned? I think there's times in our life when we're working, when we're getting advice from people that we need to think about the whole situation. Do I want to take advice from this person? Do I actually want to follow in their footsteps of their life? Do you want to sacrifice your marriage for financial success? I think it's a question we need to think about sometimes with our mentors. Are the sacrifices he's making the ones that I want to make for my success? Because we all make sacrifices. I was talking about the Simon Sinek video I was watching last time, and in there it was fascinating. Simon just made this comment, and he just said, you know, he said, going forward, he said, I want to think very clearly through this, or he didn't say any exact words based on this idea. I want to think about the sacrifices I'm making. How would it look if your manager told you, fellas, Friday afternoon, you notice I have off. I took off to go meet with my friend. It's his birthday. We're going out for dinner. We're going to get together because it's his birthday. I want to spend time with my friend. He said, you know, you might have to sacrifice missing the mark on certain measures in the company. But he said, up until this point, he said, so often when we talk about sacrifice, we sacrifice relationships for business. He said, why do we do that? He said, isn't friendship the most important thing? Why aren't we sacrificing less important things for the most important thing? Or is business actually the most important to us? We will sacrifice what's less important to us for what's most important to us. So maybe it's an issue of priorities. That hit me. Coming from a man who doesn't claim to be a follower of God, he doesn't claim to be against God, he just doesn't claim to be a Christian as far as I know. I was like, wow. I could have heard my minister say that. Anyway, what do I sacrifice? My coworkers put up a lot of extra time for me while I was doing flight training, so I really appreciate them, sacrifices they made. So I may have to think about what I'm sacrificing for my success too. Here's an interesting story out of Exodus 18. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing, the people, there might be a typo there, he said, what is this thing you are doing for the people? I think you know the story. He goes on to say, this task is too heavy for you. Moses' father-in-law, it seems like, was a very good manager. I think Moses was a good people person. What Moses wasn't realizing was that right at first there was maybe 5 or 10 people to talk to. But as this got bigger and bigger and bigger, this was going to get overwhelming, and eventually he was going to burn out, right? So Moses' father-in-law comes alongside of him and says, hey, I have an idea. Why don't we split these up? Let's make this an orderly system, and then you only meet the people who have a big need, a big problem. It'll only be another 5 or 10 a day. Great advice, right? Moses' father-in-law was like a mentor to him coming alongside. And one of the hard things to do, I think, is there's two sides of this whole mentoring discussion. One is, as a mentor, I have to be willing to share, right? I have to have the courage to share with somebody. But as a mentoree, I have to be vulnerable enough to let people know, hey, I've got some questions. I got some needs. And Moses could have said, Mr. Father-in-law, God ordained me to this role. God put me in this place. Why are you challenging what God put in place? It wouldn't have worked very well, would it? That attitude of, I am in my position and I'm not going to let anything threaten me, would have really destroyed the whole program, I'm pretty sure. I mean, we don't see that play out, but if Moses would have tried to be that only resource for everybody, he would have burned out eventually. But he was wise and took his father-in-law's advice and created that system where they divided the people up. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, 11 to 12. Having so fond an affection for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This is Paul speaking. Do you see what Paul is saying here? He is encouraging and imploring these people as a father would his own children. You see Paul as a mentor in this role? You know, a lot of the letters actually in the New Testament after the four Gospels and the Acts, it's a lot of letters people writing back and forth, and several of them are Paul writing to young leaders in the church, just encouraging them on to deal with the different issues they were dealing with, and to be faithful men. And here we just see him just saying, we just were exhorting, encouraging you, and imploring you as a father would his own children. We were pouring our very life into you. We weren't just sharing, how would you say, advice. We were putting our own energy. We were putting our own lives, our own time. As I was studying for this, one person said, you know, when you ask somebody to be a mentor for you, you need to remember that time is the most important thing that anybody has. And as you're asking them for their time, you're asking them for their most valuable resource. And that's what Paul invested into other people, that time. And when he was in prison, he's there writing letters. I think Paul is just an incredible example as a mentor. If you look into the Bible for really like clear example, a clear model to follow, look at Apostle Paul. He just was an incredible example of mentoring other younger believers. 10 marks of a mentor. This man clearly has what you personally need. If you're looking to take advice on business, probably I would say, if you grew up farmers, probably would have not as much experience in sales. I don't mean anything against farmers, but anyway, if you're trying to learn to be a farmer, you're probably not going to go ask your sales guy how to be a farmer, because he probably won't have the advice. I'll buy all new tractors. Sounds like a great idea. Anyways, actually, it is a good idea, by the way. Especially the ones at Agriteer sells, by the way. I can help you out. Anyway, keep on going. Letter B, he chooses to cultivate a relationship with you. Your mentor should be one who pursues you. All right? Chooses to cultivate a relationship with you. Hoping not to get ahead of you folks, but we do got a bunch to go through here. He is willing to take a chance on you. I was talking about the time, the investment. Remember, you're asking him for some of the most important resources that he has. So he's willing to take a chance on you, willing to say, you know what, I'm going to take some of that extra time and put it into your life. He is respected by other men. We talked about that a bit earlier, didn't we? He is respected by other men. He has a network of resources. So sometimes it could be just experiences in life. He could have been investing a lot of time in a specific area. Maybe he was the owner of the business for 50 years and just has a lot of experience. And you're doing something very similar. Or let's say you're a father and you have a family that's growing up becoming teenagers. Maybe you know an older man who's worked with teens. That could be a man who's just a lot of resources. He is consulted by others. If you're looking for a mentor, find somebody. We talked about having community credibility. Is he consulted by others? Do others trust him as well? I would say don't find somebody who just agrees with you. Make sure it's somebody who actually can challenge you and help you grow. He both talks and listens. I like to talk. and I think that's one of the things I learned sitting and listening to people was if you can't listen, your talk doesn't have a lot of value. Learn to listen if you're going to be a mentor. And if you're looking for a mentor, make sure it's somebody who learns to listen. I had a friend tell me one time, Randall, you're not hearing me. Ooh. Ouch. Thank you. How can I hear you better? And that was very helpful, very insightful. I did not realize what I was doing. I thought I was helping, and it wasn't. And he just pointed it out to me. He said, Randall, you're not helping. You're not listening to me. Oh, I was reflecting back personal experiences I had that were similar to his. And, he had not finished his story. And I was moving on to other things, and he realized that. And so that was very helpful. I was very great. I thanked him for that. So that was very helpful. He is consistent in his lifestyle. So whatever you're looking for a mentor from, if it's business or it's family relationships or whatever it is he consistent? And we also talked about a man being successful in business but not successful in his marriage. This is another example of that. He is consistent in his lifestyle. So think about, would I want to become like my mentor? He is able to diagnose your real need. So here's one to be a little bit aware of. Sometimes you might have a mentor who is kind of caught up on some of his own personal issues, and he sees all the world having an issue with anger, maybe if he deals with anger. And so he's just always telling you, hey, what your real issue is anger, you know. When you have a problem and you don't deal with it, you see the whole world that way. He should be able to help you see what some of your real problems are. And if you don't feel it, he's really helping you get where you want to go after you meet a couple times. I think there's two things we need to check. Number one, am I being open to the advice he's sharing? If you are. Second of all would be then, is he really understanding where I'm at and what I need? He is concerned with your interests. He cares about your goals, your dreams, and he wants to help you succeed. Remember, you're not a critic. A mentor's not a critic. He's there, he's a cheerleader. He wants to see you go. So, yeah, back to the aviation theme, right? So, I don't know how many of you know A.J. Rotelli. That's him pictured up there. We flew down to a diner down in Cape May one morning for a flight. That was a lot of fun. Anyway, just had a great time. And then that other picture was yesterday afternoon after got finished the check ride. AJ has been just an example to me of a real mentor when it comes to learning to fly. He was a man who was consistent. We talked about being consistent, being able to identify your real need, all of them things. I felt very confident flying with AJ and having him be an instructor. And I just use this as a parallel for life is when we're looking for that mentor, we're looking for somebody who has the skills we have. They're further down the road than we are. He has flown for several hundred hours, way further down the road than I am. Are there men further than him? Sure there are. But from where I am today to where he has a lot to offer me. He was a consistent person. He's a great character. I trust him as personally. He lives a life of integrity. I just feel good about learning from him as an instructor, as a mentor in my life. Was he a mentor personally? I mean, a few little areas, a couple of discussions we had, but he was more of a mentor to me learning to fly an airplane. But that's just, to me, it was just a real clear example. He was able to identify my real needs, and he was somebody who had what I needed at the moment. A mentor closes a loop on a man's life. So this fellow is coming to you. He has this need. Maybe he wants to become a better father. Maybe he wants to become a better husband. Maybe he wants to become a great groom. He's praying to get married, and he wants that. How do I become a great groom and start a marriage off well? And as a mentor, he's someone who can close that loop, can fill you in. Here's some things you should think about. Here's some things you should be looking at. connects older and younger men in a symbiotic relationship. We just do not have enough time this morning to really camp out on any of these. But this is one. Men, I think in the Anabaptist community, I'm not sure what happened where, but it seems like there's a disconnect between the older generation and the younger generation. And I'm not sure where we young fellows thought we're so smart that we can just fly our airplane on our own, crash in the ground a bunch of times, put it back together, and we're just going to somehow figure it out. Dad doesn't know how to run a smartphone. He never did a whole lot with whatever, whatever, whatever. We're just going to fly this thing. We're in a new generation. We've got the information. What's the question? Google it. We got it. But it doesn't work. We're in one of the loneliest generations, friends. And it's that whole thing that Jason said in the beginning. We need friends. We need relationships. We're so lonely. And unless we get a hold of that, brothers, the foundation of this whole thing is a relationship. Absolutely. The years I spent at boys camp just really brought that home for me. The whole thing about boys camp is totally based on relationships. That's the whole foundation of the program. And if you took the relationships out of there, the program would totally fall flat. There's nothing left. It is all about that mentor role. So the mentor idea just connects older and younger men in a symbiotic relationship. We need this to pass on the values that we have as Anabaptist people from one generation to the next. I feel very strong about that. And the older I get, the more I see that. And I think that's probably just a phenomenon everybody experiences. The older you get, the wiser the older generation is. Anyway. Number three, allows a man to teach naturally from experience, which younger men desperately need and want. Fellas, God did not give you the experience and the blessings you have just to waste away. He gave you them to pass on to younger generation. And there is something just so inspiring. Number four, it gives older men a significant purpose in the second half of life. You know, when you get into your 50s, it's like one man said, you've probably gone on the vacations you wanted to go on. You probably already own the property you're going to maybe retire in. Maybe not. You probably went on the hunting trips you dreamed of. You've got some money in the bank account now that you're not as concerned as you were when you're younger. And maybe not, but it's kind of an average. And you can kind of hit the middle of life and be like, oh, I kind of did what I was dreaming to do. I was hoping to do. Now what's left? And you know, that can kind of be that loss of purpose. You ever hear that phenomenon when men retire, they die? Lose their purpose? Yeah. So this is this whole thing. God never designed it that way. God designed for us to have significant roles in every area of life. When we reach that second half of life, if you want to put it that way, God is looking for us to pour into younger people, to help them to learn to know the way forward, to help them to avoid the pitfalls. And you know, the older I get, the more I realize, like, it's not so much that they've experienced the internet age, the, how would you say, LGBTQ age, all these other things that are just seem like they're in our face right now and kind of coming on the Christian church pretty hard. Like, what are we going to do in a few years when we can't preach against same-sex marriage, some of them things? Folks, I don't think this is anything real new. And as we have conversations, as we talk with the older generation and get their experience, what they've seen through the years, I think we can get through these things just fine. God is not going to sit by and let us just crash. But it's going to take all of us being willing to do our part, right? It's going to take us younger ones being willing to listen to the older generation. And it's going to take us saying, older men, what would you do in this situation? Older brother, how would you approach this situation? How would you handle these errant young youth, if you want to put it that way? Adds a missing satisfaction to an older man's life. We're kind of discussing that already. I don't think we can hardly overstate that. You see a lot. Yesterday, my examiner, they call him, the fellow that flies the flight with you and gets you to do all different things and tests you out. He was, I think he said, 69. He was an ex-Army guy. He'd spent 20-some years, done several active duty flights. It was interesting just being with him. Right when he got there, he was sitting in the office, and the office girl was over there, and he's just making comments like, yeah, he's like, I'll sit here where I can see her. She's at least one bright spot in my day. And it was like the whole time, I guess I hadn't spent time with somebody like that in a while. But the whole time we were out there getting the airplane ready to go, and there's this beautiful young lady is out here getting the next plane right beside us going. He's like, oh, wow, what's the view to the west? After a while, I wasn't sure, what do you say to a gentleman like that? Later on, I wish I would have just told him, hey, one of the things my dad taught me was respect women. I don't know if he'd have took that. I don't know how it would have went. Probably have flunked me right there. I don't know. But anyway, it was just, I was like, wow, some of the things I've been taught, I'm ever grateful for. I don't think any of them women felt respected or valued any better. I don't know if he really felt disrespectful to them. They were probably kind of used to that. But it's like, I'm just so grateful my grandpa's not like that. You know? Like, what a blessing. What a blessing. And how destructive it would be if that's the experience we would have with all the older men. I guess it was an eye-opener to me. I hadn't experienced that. He was a great, fun fellow other than that. I mean, we had good time. He was kind of a fun guy to hang out with. I don't know what it was. I guess it's just, that's their world. That's their life. So anyway, adds a missing satisfaction. I think in some ways he was missing that, right? He was doing his job, but I don't think he was experiencing that satisfaction he was looking for. For his protege, I think I'm saying that word right, what does a mentor bring to our life? What did Jason bring to me and other men who've spoken in my life? Jason brought me hope. Hope that there was something that I had to bring to the world that had value and had blessing. It did. It gave me a sense of hope as a man. I had something to offer the world that was valuable. Wisdom. It brings wisdom into our lives. We avoid making some of the mistakes that others have made. And helps us to find our way without having to make all the mistakes. Did you know there's actually two ways to learn? There's wisdom and there's consequences. The consequences, you experience the pain right up front. It's kind of like crashing an airplane in the ground and walking away with a broken leg. Or wisdom is being told, hey, that's not a good idea. Don't fly today. And you, disappointment, a little bit of pain. You didn't get to do that day, but a whole lot less pain. So there's always pain in learning. But wisdom will help you to avoid making mistakes, whereas if you make the mistakes, you deal with the consequences. So we can't really learn without pain. So wisdom helps us avoid the bad consequences. A bigger personal vision. Like I said, I would never be teaching here today, I don't think, if somebody hadn't believed in me and encouraged me to pursue this. They give you a vision to pursue some of the things in life that you really don't believe you can go after. Encouragement, kind of goes right along with that. Just the encouragement to keep on going. You know, sometimes it gets hard, right? I remember making some mistakes as a speaker and Jason not giving up. And I thought I gave him a lot of reasons to say, hey, Randall, it'd be a good time just to go find something else to do now. But that encouragement is keep on. That was huge. That was huge. Want to be a mentor? Make a list of your strengths and experiences you can bless a younger man's life with. This is most important. I think it's wise to take an inventory. Every one of us has something to give. But if you really want to know a place where you can start trying to think, you know, how could I bless somebody else's life? What are areas that I can be significant in? For me, marriage, you know, mentoring somebody about their marriage really doesn't probably going to go very well. That's how my personal experience was. It's kind of little. So one of the things I say is I never made a mistake. I'm still the perfect husband. I never offended my wife yet. Anyway, number two, determine how much time you have to give. Be honest with time, brothers. It's not fair to tell somebody, I'm going to spend time with you, and then you really don't have that time to give. All right? Be honest. Be honest with your time. It's not fair to take it away from other people who need you. So determine how much time you have to give, and be honest with them if you don't have the time. Pray for and choose a young man or men you want to be with and reach out to him. So do you feel God laying on your heart to invest in somebody, find somebody at work, find somebody at church. Pray and ask God for wisdom to find people. If you connect, feel like you're coming together, initiate some regular time together until the protege has what he needs, and then let him go. Brothers, this isn't about you. It's about investing in somebody to help them find, to help them grow and become what God has created them to be. Do you need a mentor? Pray for wisdom and guidance. Go and ask courageously. I might go through some of these pretty quickly here. We're a little over time. Don't get discouraged if you are turned down. So if you go to somebody and he says, I don't have time, respect that. He has boundaries in his life. He's trying to meet his commitments. Please respect that. Or he might be working through something that you really don't know much about and he can't really share and he just needs that space right now. Number four is get a group and ask an older man to mentor us. So do you feel like you know an older man who would not have a lot of time, but there are several of you at the same stage in life? Hey, can we meet with you for breakfast every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock at Utter Choice? There's an option. And if you're an older fellow and you feel like you don't got a lot of time, but you got one morning a month open, could you set something up with your fellows from church or youth from church? All right, there is the last slide. Brothers, I have been blessed by mentors. I don't know if I accomplished this morning, but my goal for this morning was I want to inspire you to realize that God has blessed you with experiences and blessings that he wants you to pour in other people's lives. And if you're a young man or a younger person than somebody else, God would love to have people pour into your life. Can you be vulnerable enough to open up your heart to others? And that picture from that canoe trip, that verse I thought was just really good. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. In other words, somebody who's willing to share. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. This has been my experience. Probably my place of mentoring often happens on canoe trips. There's nothing I enjoy more than sitting around a campfire along a river with a bunch of guys. And it's been some amazing experiences. And that trip in particular, we really connected. And I tell you, my soul was watered. As you pour your life into others, brothers, God sends blessings back. I can testify it's an amazing experience. But do it for the kingdom of God and not for yourself. Because if it's for yourself, you will have your own reward. Blessings to you at a small group. You are dismissed.